happy and well adjusted, I always recommend that they connect with a counselor. That's sometimes difficult because counseling is not a service that is covered by our provincial health plan. And we, those of us who do this sort of work, are very hopeful that consideration will be made to funding mental health services for all people, but particularly for youth and those with gender dysphoria. So connecting with a youth counselor and for adults as well, I think it's so important to have the kind of support from a gender-affirming counselor in order to be able to navigate transition and all of the challenges associated with that.
Absolutely, yeah. And do you think there are, I feel like from what I've seen, universities are trying to make more of an effort in terms of getting more care for like something like counseling. I think they're like increasing the amount of coverage under our health insurance. So that's like, I think a little bit of a positive change in that direction. Is there anything like for patients that are looking for a fix, like they're really struggling? Do you tend to recommend going down the pharmaceutical route, or do you try to push lifestyle, or is it a merge between both? What would you say?
For mental health treatment of mental health issues, do you mean? Well, again, it really depends. I think it would be very dependent on the actual person. Again, for youth, we see a lot of youth with complex mental health issues where medications are definitely required in order to stabilize them. But I always say that nothing can replace or take over for a continuous relationship with a counselor who can offer the kind of safety and support that is really needed. You know, medications are just one small part of supporting a person from the point of view of mental health and social well-being. So yes, it's difficult when you don't have counselors that are actually funded. So yeah, I'm just going to go back to that point.
Definitely. And if you're a loved one or a family member or a friend listening, what would be the best piece of advice you would give them if they know somebody personally who is going through this transitioning period?
Well, I think probably the most important thing is respecting and accepting the person's gender identity as an authentic expression of who they are and not asking them to explain or account for that. Respecting the name that the person would like to be addressed as. And again, there's an ever growing body of evidence that shows that just using a person's preferred name can be life-saving and can reduce suicide thoughts and gestures by well over 50%. There's lots of good evidence there. And respecting pronouns. So I think those are very basic and very simple first steps that people can take to support someone who is, who is coming out.
Yeah, no, I think that's really great advice. And then I just a little bit left I wanted to ask you about was if you could see one change being made in our healthcare system, it can be in terms of gender affirming care or just healthcare in general. What would you like to be seen be done in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years?
I think I'm going to go back to that mental health piece and the need for funding from our government to support the mental health of our youth and adults. And I mean, gender affirming care and mental health issues amongst that population of people is definitely worth addressing. But in general, I think that is an enormous gap in our healthcare system. So that would be the plea that I would make. I mean, there are lots of other things, of course, that it would be also excellent to see more primary care practitioners, family doctors, and nurse practitioners, practicing or adopting, putting themselves out for and doing gender affirming care. Anyone can do a hormone assessment and prescribe hormones, and there are lots of good supports and lots of what am I looking for? The continuing medical education resources that are provided through Transcare BC as well as through the College of Family CFPC. So I would just invite people to get trained up and start doing this very important work.
No, that sounds amazing. I think that would be a really good change that we would hopefully see in the near future. And then just the last question for you, Dr. Seymour. We don't typically or often get physicians on our show, so if we have the opportunity, we'd love to hear one piece of advice that you would like to give in terms of bettering someone's health. If they want to make one little adjustment to their habits, or maybe you've done something, maybe you've included meditation or diet or something, what's one little tidbit people can add to their life?
In general, you mean
Yeah,
just for.
anything. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I would say probably in this world and time of increasing social media and demands upon our time and ourselves is to learn how to establish firm boundaries and say no in order to look after yourself and your needs and to be able to spend time with your friends and family, because that's such an important part of health and well-being,
I couldn't agree
and
more.
yeah, and of finding joy in life.
I agree. I think screens are taking over our lives. One
Absolutely.
screen at a time. So thank you so much, Dr. Seymour. It was such a pleasure to have you. I think we learned a ton about gender-affirming care and just medicine in general, and we really appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been an honor and a privilege. Thank you.
So that was my interview with Dr. Seymour. I always have such an amazing time speaking with her. I learn so much with every conversation that we have. And so I just wanted to share that with the listeners. Hopefully everybody took away something from that conversation, whether it was just a piece of information on how important this topic is and how there are so many changes that need to be made, or maybe you found a resource that you can use for yourself or somebody that you know in your life. And as always, near the end of every episode, we tend to end with a meditation piece. So I'll just get you to try to close your eyes if you're in a comfortable environment, and you can just listen to the music, relax, try to take some deep breaths, and just de-stress from the day. So I'll play the piece right now. And as always, thank you so much for tuning in to Health Matters. I hope you took something away from today's episode and enjoy the rest of your day. Bye.
Well, did you stop feeling small one day in a shopping mall outside of Tacoma, seeking shelter from snowfall? Lights blur together, and they do it all for you. It's in the way that
Cities of Washington by Grimm from the record Your Head is a House. Welcome back to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. I'm Jesse, and we are now in the fun What Did Jesse Find in the CJSF Archive section of the show, which will cover most of the rest of the time. I'm going to go back to the Music Works 53 magazine, Radiophonics and Other Phonies, and hear an excerpt from Ruminations on the Darkness by Dan Lander. This one is called Anna Bing Ga, and the text that accompanies it is, "The difficulty in speaking comes not through the inability to grasp the situation, but rather is brought about by what we might call the dilemma of fragmented polarization. My problem in speaking comes about through my knowledge of the wounding and is facilitated by their paranoia regarding our diversity. To mimic them is simply to point at them. Access to their wings is the primary problem." Produced at home, Ruminations on the Darkness was composed for Radio Possibilities Nights, organized by CHRW Radio Western 94.7 FM in London, Ontario. Performed for a live audience, the work was broadcast live to air via a telephone feed from Forest City Gallery to the CHRW studios on the evening of Thursday, 14 March 1991. So here we go, an excerpt from that broadcast, Anna Bing Ga.
Thank you.
Binga by Dan Lander from Ruminations on the Darkness, an excerpt of a radio broadcast produced in 1991, found in the CJSF Downtown Studio Archive. This is about it for Speak Up. I'm going to play one more thing from the archive because I have to. It is labeled by whoever did the intake on this as biased religious material. It's called Sacred War, and it's about Satanism, the whole compilation, in some form or another. It's kind of poorly explained, and also the explanation is written over in Sharpie, so I have a hard time, but it's kind of fun. Anyway, this track by Uproader is going to take you until Democracy Now!, and it is called Pagan Technology. I'll see you next week here on CJSF. This has been Speak Up.
If there is a conspiracy, those people are playing by all the rules of the game. nature. The nature doesn't allow for any exceptions. You want to accept them? No. That's free will. We might talk about the golden rule. Accept on faith. Rule is in conflict. So, that's industrial change for thousands and thousands. Everything would make produce for survival. The ability to produce things is such that there never was. Can put of goods, a variety of goods you couldn't even think of. Entirely different than any that existed. Electric magnet modulates the amplitude and the frequency in such a fashion, a little bit, we have music.